everybody out there in the wonderful world of the internet. This is Zombie Zero from the Red Pill Podcast, and I'm talking to whoever's listening. At this point right now, it's about 2:30 in the morning. Just going to show how much of a fucking insomniac I am. The only problem is that this was completely artificial because of Black Friday shopping from the night before. So, in addition to picking up gifts for the family and friends and all, I did pick up about 30 or 40 new movies. So, I got entertainment to keep my early mornings to sunrise occupied for about the next month and a half, 2 months. But I gotta kind of keep this quiet because the rest of the people that are living in my house are asleep, or at least should be. My 11-year-old niece continues to try and skirt her fucking midnight curfew, and I just caught her still awake out in the living room. Ay, ay, ay. What can I do? But not only did I get a bunch of new movies, I did end up picking up quite a few new games as well. Among those being Battlefield 4, Assassin's Creed 4, Batman Arkham Origins, and Dead Island Riptide, that I got at a real good price. So those will be four more games that will still be wrapped in cellophane waiting as I try and work my way through some of the newer stuff and maybe dedicate a little bit of time to working some of those games out and getting them out of my need-to-play queue. So, tonight, I'm reviewing a bunch of the movies that I bought on sale because I already have them on DVD and I was just upgrading them to Blu-ray for a decent amount of them. And a lot of them ended up being comic book movies. So I know comic book movies are a real big thing in Hollywood. They keep producing new and new comic book film adaptations. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite. So, with that in mind, I'm going to give you what I would say would be my top 9 comic book to movie adaptations. Starting out, number 9, The Crow. It doesn't get any more gritty and realistic than in a film where the lead actually died in filming it. Rest in peace, Brandon Lee. The fact is, this film shouldn't just have cult status as being a cult classic. This film is brutal, very graphic, and it stands out amongst many, many comic book movies. When it was shot, no pun intended, when it was filmed, there wasn't a big demand for a comic book franchised movie. It really couldn't stand on its own as a summer blockbuster or anything like that. So whenever Alex Proyas went to film it, he was definitely taking a very, very big leap of faith whether or not it was actually going to be a successful film and maybe turn into a successful franchise. I'd say it was a successful film, but really not a successful franchise. Moving on. Number 8, Superman 2. The Richard Donner takes of the Superman movies, you really can't go and say any of the other Superman movies would even come close to the fun that Superman 2 was. The wholesome goodness that you get with Christopher Reeves as Superman just has not been able to be recaptured with anybody trying to reprise the role. And General Zod, just pure 80s action fun all around. Number 7, 300. Now, Zack Snyder has made several of these comic book film adaptations, and 300 being based off of the Frank Miller graphic novel, while obviously not being completely 100% historically accurate, is damn near 100% comic book accurate. The way that it is shot, the ridiculous physique of the Spartans in the movie, and the grotesque nature of the Persians in the movie are really just so spot on and great. and it just is visually very, very stunning, like many of the other Zack Snyder films. Number 6, Sin City. Now, the Robert Rodriguez take of a Frank Miller graphic novel turned into this really nice film noir with just the tiniest smattering of color exactly where it needed to be to emphasize certain little bits. And he had all-star cast with this. You can't really go wrong with Sin City. Everybody from Jessica Alba to Bruce Willis and everybody within the alphabet was within this damn movie, and it is just so worthwhile to see. Number 5, The Avengers. Now, this film definitely goes to show that the sum of the whole are greater than the parts. Not talking so much shit, because all of the movies that led up to The Avengers are really good, every one of them. From the Edward Norton portrayal of the Incredible Hulk, Robert Downey Jr. in 2 Iron Man movies before The Avengers came out, even with the 3rd Iron Man movie coming out afterwards, the Chris Hemsley Thor, the Chris Evans Captain America, which I'd say the Captain America movie was the best of the Avengers movies leading up to The Avengers, but The Avengers itself was just really stunning and spectacular action all around, really great story, and it was nice to see them be able to pull the plot together as well as they did, and obviously leave themselves open for the sequel coming out soon enough. Number 4, X-Men 2. This may be just because it introduced one of my absolute favorite characters in Nightcrawler to the big screen, but the fact is, it really was one of the best comic book movies to come out to that time, so I really can't talk any shit on X-Men 2. It, to me, was probably the greatest X-Men movie of that X-Men franchise. Number 3, The Watchmen. Once again, now we get Zack Snyder doing another film on this list, and The Watchmen, just as much as 300, very visually stunning. The story, I had heard so many people say, much like how they turned The Great Gatsby into a film, people were saying that The Watchmen could never be turned into a film, and he proved them wrong. Now, some people are on the fence about The Watchmen, but I believe the more viewings that you actually give it, the more time that you let everything sink in, there's a lot of films that are like that. First time you see it, you might not get it, and you might not say that it was the greatest film. And then you watch it again whenever it comes out on DVD or what have you, and you say, oh, that's a little bit better than I thought I remembered it being. By the third time you view it, sometimes somebody will say, why did you watch that 3 times? You say, because it's awesome. And this person has only watched it once, so they haven't committed enough time to see it and get all the little subtle nuances that a film as massive as The Watchmen has. Number 2, Spider-Man 2. You'll notice a lot of sequels on this list, and I'm pretty sure if you're clever enough, you'd already know what my number 1 is, but let's focus on Spider-Man 2 for right now, with probably the greatest enemy that Spider-Man would have faced in Doc Ock, being played by Alfred Molina, was really spot on. And I mean, who would have ever thought, at this point Spider-Man 2 is nearly a decade old, who would have thought that visual effects could have actually created a realistic and believable Dr. Octopus? He really looks amazing in the film, and the rest of the film really is tied together because of the action, the story, the believability to it. It's just a really, really great film all over. Number 1 is The Dark Knight. Now, I didn't have to label this as only one film per franchise can be on my list. It just flat out is what it is. The Dark Knight is the best, and Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises are good films, but they aren't even in this top 9, so the Heath Ledger portrayal of the Joker was really the turning point to make this film or break it, because a lot of people were just absolutely in love with Jack Nicholson doing the Joker from the Tim Burton Batman, and everybody said he was so spot on to the comics that nobody could ever try and portray the Joker and do a good enough job to do it justice as Jack did. Well, we went a different route with The Dark Knight. It was not a funny Joker. It was a psychotic Joker. It was a zero fucks given Joker. And I can't believe how well it came off. But then again, if you look back to before the film came out and people were saying, Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker? Are you fucking kidding me? This movie's gonna be terrible. So many fucking people had to eat crow because they never gave him a chance. So, I'm not gonna say don't give Ben Affleck a chance to be Batman in the upcoming Batman-Superman movie, but you never know. I'm obviously not advocating for more and more actors to die, but maybe if Affleck died in his portrayal of Batman the way that Heath Ledger died after his portrayal of the Joker, maybe Ben Affleck will get some of the long-deserved respect. So now, after all of these edits that I've done to it, adding the music in, scouring and finding appropriate tracks, it's about 3:30 in the morning. I'll probably have this posted in the next 15 to 20 minutes. So, insomnia. Who all has it? How do you deal with it? How should I deal with my niece who just won't go to fucking sleep? Don't forget to like us on facebook.com/redpillpodcast. And I got it up so that you should be able to search for the podcast through iTunes. Just bring up your iTunes and search Red Pill Podcast. So, as always, let me leave you with some words of wisdom. Many of us spend half our time wishing for things that we actually could have if we didn't spend half of our time wishing. But right now, I wish to go to sleep, so I'm going to. Thanks for listening, guys. Take it easy.